Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Also, did you guys do what I did and looked up draft prospects in wrestling? Which of these guys wrestled? All right.
This is the Buffalo Plus Podcast, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel, presented by Connors and Ferris, Mike Catalana, Dan Fates. I am Jenna Cottrell. We are closing in on the NFL draft. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share
yes.
the Buffalo Plus channel with anyone you know that's a Bills fan that would appreciate our musings on the team. All right, so today we're going to talk the draft coming up,
yeah.
some scenarios the Bills could be in, some players to look out for, and kind of where the Bills are at as they head into the draft coming up. We're recording this on Monday. It's not this Thursday, but the Thursday after. Mike.
We'll hear from Bean later this week.
Yes.
We'll hear from Bean, Sean McDermott, as well as Josh Allen and some other players.
Yeah, we'll be up there Thursday. It's going to be an interesting day. We've heard from Bean and McDermott after they made the move, you know,
yeah.
but now you're going to hear from Josh Allen.
That will be something.
Does he tell us anything?
No.
Does he say anything?
Nothing.
He's going to say, "Steph, it's my guy. I wish him the best."
Dan, is your audio very low?
No.
Okay. I was just looking at the levels on the TV. That's why.
I may have just turned down your headphones.
Okay. That's it.
People at home apparently do that when I talk, so this is the same kind of thing.
Stop.
What a
I don't think Josh really says. I think he's respectful and not coy, but
so you don't think he's like, "I told Bean, move on."
Yeah, that
move
would be
that
awesome.
Dude. Yeah.
Move on.
No. No, I don't think that.
No.
Diggs,
but I am
my
curious.
Guy. Happy for him.
Yeah.
You know, he gets a new opportunity. It wasn't anything personal, just a decision that Bean had, very much like that.
All right. So if I asked him, or you asked him, or you asked him, when Bean called you up and said, "We're considering moving Steph," what was your reaction?
That's how it's going to start, because that's how Josh Allen starts a response. You know, he talked to me, and it took me a little by surprise. But then when he said the plan that he had in place and, you know, what this would do for the team, I just, you know, I trust him and I trust the process.
That's exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah. You know, nowadays the league, you know, it's a business, and, you know, it's hard decisions that have to be made. Steph's my brother. I love that dude. I love that dude. Will be set.
Oh, absolutely.
It's in the bingo card. We gotta have the bingo card.
Yeah, we need one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting.
Okay. Just
There's
curious.
That. So what do they do to replace Diggs? I think that's a nice segue to where we go.
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. You know, I really have enjoyed this era of Bills football where they're picking late in the rounds. Because they're obviously one of the better teams in the league. You want to see them pick in 32nd. That's always the goal. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the draft, 28th stinks as a spot.
Yeah.
It just does. Because you got to give up assets to get a guy, usually.
Well,
because
you didn't win, but you were so close to winning that
right.
you're that far back.
Well, yeah. So, you know, sometimes you can get a player. And it's not as easy to trade out as some people think. Because not everybody wants to come in to the late first round. It can happen, but not everybody wants to.
Yeah, for everybody, we just talked with ESPN's Matt Miller. We'll have the whole video coming up. We'll play a clip of that coming up a little bit, but the video will be out later this week. Just the fact of, we talked about that, the trading. Everybody that does their mock drafts and stuff like that, they don't take any emotion into any of the trades. It's just like, do these things add up? And it's like, just trade up. Like, you just find this team and you trade up. Like, you have a gun to their head. Like, I'm giving you this and you have to do that. It's like, no, Matt Miller joked around. It's like, I want to marry Scarlett Johansson. Like, she also has to want to marry you. You can't just say, I'm marrying Scarlett Johansson.
Did he mean that specifically? Because I think she got married, didn't she not?
Isn't she married to the SNL guy?
Yeah, right. I thought she was, yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting choice, though. I mean, I get it, but...
Do you? You
know, he just went right...
Do you get it?
I get it. I wasn't in the room, but I get
I
it.
Was about...
I was so close to say, were you in the
about
building?
To say. No.
Get t-shirts.
I love that, though. Yeah, I want to marry Scarlett Johansson. Doesn't mean she wants to marry me. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's fair.
But you have to put your mind in the place of the team that would be trading back.
Correct.
And there are teams that have caused themselves issues by making other moves. And you might be sitting there in the first round, but you got a lot of holes to fill and maybe not the specific one need kind of team that's, say, taking a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then there's other teams that have some flexibility that'll say, okay, we'll take an asset and move back because we have a multiple different players we can take. So it's easy, yes, to your point, to just say, well, why don't they just go up and get the guy? Not that easy.
Not that easy. But I think there is the ability, that being said, maybe not to move up super far in the draft, but we have seen Bean move up a couple spots. Dalton Kincaid, Kaiir Elam, jump a couple of spots to get in a position that they like a little bit better. And Mike, I know you had in your draft mock that you did maybe a scenario like that.
Yeah, look, I look at them as a team that can, that has not shied away at all from moving up, like you said, right?
Bean has moved up four times in five drafts.
And they gave up assets in that year every time, I think. So they gave up. This time, you know, they're at 28, and I have them moving up to 22, which is where the Eagles are picking. And it's interesting because the player that I'm going to have the Bills taking is somebody that has been mentioned from anywhere from 10 to 30, okay? He's all over the map because of where he fits. But what I had the Bills doing is moving up those six spots and giving the Eagles next year's number three pick, third round pick for them, and moving up. And it works based on the contracts. I mean, excuse me, by the numbers of moving up and moving up the six spots. And I have the Bills taking Brian Thomas, the wide receiver out of LSU.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, this means, is he still on the board? Is he there? Can he make that move?
Yeah.
Because otherwise he could be gone so early that you're not worried about it. I just looked at him as combination of size and speed. He has been, at least by most of the people who rank the wide receivers, the legitimate guys around the league, people, is the next tier guy after the big three.
Yeah.
And so you say to yourself, how high up do you need to go? What's it worth to give up to move to that position? And that's what I had them doing, moving up, giving up an asset next year where they have two number two picks next year.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you're giving up the third.
I'm giving up a third.
Two second round picks next year. Yeah.
Because not having a third this year has been problematic, I think, in terms of making moves. That's a 100%. Really vital pick.
Yeah.
They were hoping to get that in the Tremaine Edmonds deal. It did not happen. So they end up without a third that they thought they were going to get. So that's how I have them making the move up, to get the speed, power guy. I mean, he's 6'3", 209, 4'3", 40, combination of things. So that's where I have him.
So I liked him so much that I also picked him in my mock draft.
Okay.
But I had a different scenario. So I had the Bills trading up three spots with Dallas and Dallas would receive pick 28, pick 128, and pick 160 from the Bills. I had that because I just think, like you mentioned, what Brian Thomas can offer. There's the top tier of guys that we've talked about, the Neighbors, the Adunze, the Harrison. And then there's that second tier. And I think Brian Thomas is at an achievable spot. The Bills will have to move up most likely to get him. But I think he is a guy that's right in that second tier, but at the top of that second tier. And because of that, I think the Bills can kind of do a little bit of a hop up and get a guy like that. But size, speed, the combination that he brings and what that could do for this Bills offense, I think, is just so alluring. So that's the pick that I also had.
And this moving up, like I said in the beginning, feels like a Bean move because he's done it.
And I feel like moving up a couple spots feels like a Bean move.
Yes.
More so than
the move. By the way, in case I didn't say it, obviously the Bills give up the 28th pick.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, you give up 28 and the third round pick.
You didn't want them having two.
Yeah, that would be nice if you said, give you a third. You move back six spots. Again, this may sound silly a week from Thursday.
Sure.
When the Jets take him number 10.
Sure.
Because that could happen.
Sure.
That's why when anyone's like, I know they're taking this play, they don't know shirt.
Mock drafts are like your NCAA brackets, and they are like your fantasy football team. Everybody's got one. Nobody really cares. Like, and because they're also they're a crapshoot. Like, they really are. Again, you can mock this guy going here, and then if some team springs in and takes a guy early, like, okay.
You're right. I would say this. I'm basing it, I think Jenna is, and I think you would too, base it on history of what the team has done.
Absolutely.
Them maybe zeroing in on a certain player,
mm-hmm.
and then saying to themselves, if we can get there and get them, we do it. This is why I said when we talked about it, these are scenarios, I guarantee you, he's already had conversations with teams.
Yeah.
To say,
you don't think so.
What would you be looking for? You're on their list of saying.
You think he already has those?
I don't think they're like full-blown, here's what we're going to do, but I think.
No, he never says that. He never has said what the guy they're taking. Remember you talked about
about the guy.
No.
I'm saying is if he's had a conversation with Howie Roseman or whichever Jones is running things in Dallas or whatever, hey, listen, we may be looking to move. Is that something you're amenable to? And what if, you know, Roseman says, sure, we'll want a lot. We know we're going to have somebody we love there, so don't count on us. I don't know if they would say that or just he says, hey, we could be looking for a future pick.
Yeah.
What would you be willing to give?
I think that's got to be something you're doing in terms of just the due diligence of the job.
And I brought that up because I know of the Eagles, they believe teams give up more value for future picks than they warrant because teams put it out of it's next year's pick. We have time to make up for next year's pick.
This is what I do all the time. This is a future Jenna problem.
Yes.
Yes.
So they are a team that does that. That's the only reason I brought that up.
Yeah.
And your point to the Cowboys is the Cowboys also need some extra draft picks.
Yeah.
And just because a team makes a move for next year doesn't mean they can't turn right around and deal that pick to somebody else.
Yeah, good point. I've got two ideas and two moves, and I had a mock draft, and we just recorded again the interview with Matt Miller, and he completely blew up what I was hoping would possibly happen.
Yeah, can I just say this? The end result of what you want, I would love.
Yeah.
The first one or the second one?
First one.
Yes.
I would love it.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Should we talk about that one?
Talk about it. That's
okay.
The one.
So the first thought I had is when we were all doing our mock drafts, I had seen somewhere, again, it's Mayberry head too of thinking, hey, some guy falls, right? Maybe farther than we thought. If Rome Odunziehe falls to 12, if he's still on the board past the Jets, 10, 11. Minnesota's at 11. Denver's at 12. If he's still on the board, the Bills could, in my head, the way I looked at it, doing the draft values and things like that, trade this year's second round pick and next year's first round pick and move up to 12 with Denver, who, from what I'm hearing, obviously they're a team that makes a lot of sense of trading back if they want to get a quarterback of a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix Jr. Like, they can't justify that as much at 12 as they could at a later pick.
28.
Well, they could keep 28. So the Bills would only have to give up their second and their next year's first. Saying. So you'd have two first round picks this year.
And if Denver is in a position of saying we're going to draft a quarterback next year, it gives them the more ammunition for a second number one next year.
So I thought
I
would have loved getting Odunziehe at 12 and Matt Miller just smashed my hopes and dreams and just said there's no chance.
Did he say it very clearly? Do you want to play that or is it not worth playing that?
Yeah, well, I want to say this is what Matt Miller had to say about Odunziehe and the prospect that he sees in him.
I mean, the fit is fantastic. I mean, he would be, like Ja'Marr Chase is for the Bengals. That was my player comp for him. Like, the type of player you're getting. He's a dog on and off the field. He's a great person. He's a leader. He's a finished product. He has yards after the catch, but he's a bully at 215 pounds. I mean, he is a prototypical X wide receiver. I saw someone say he's Terrell Owens without the off field. It's like, yeah, that's a pretty accurate way to put it, right? So it's like, yeah, that's what you want. Now, to get him, though, you might have to get to 7 overall, honestly, because you're going to have to get in front of the Chicago Bears at 9. And I don't know that the Falcons would trade out of 8 because they need help on defense so badly. So the hard part for Buffalo is, and Kansas City ran into this last year too, two things. Number one, you're really good. No one wants to help you. Number two, you're drafting at the end of the round every year. So even if you said, hey, we'll give you 28 and a 2025 first. Okay, well, that 2025 first is going to be a late first rounder. So there's not as much value to where, like what Chicago and Carolina did last year, where Chicago's GM Ryan Poole said, hey, we'll take the Panthers first because we think they're going to suck next year. And we got a shot that this is a pretty high pick in the round. With Buffalo, you know how good they're going to be year in and year out. And so you're really locked into best case scenario, that pick's 25 in the first round in the future. So if you want to try to get up to 7 to get Roma Dunze, like, you are paying a lot to do that. And that's what makes it so much harder to envision a scenario like that.
So then my next question, I skipped it. I skipped the question that I had written down was, will he be there at 12? And he just said, no. And it was like, all right, man, let's just keep moving on. So now,
it doesn't mean he's right.
He said that Odunze is not getting past 9 with the Bears.
Right.
And he says there's no way the Bears will pass on Odunze at 9. So if you heard what Matt Miller just said about Odunze, like, you'd have to get up to like above 9. That's how that works.
So that would be 8 or 7. Yes.
And so the Bills would have to give up this year's first and next year's first to make a move with Tennessee or Atlanta or the Giants, 6, 7, or 8.
I got to tell you, maybe it's just because there's been so much on Marvin Harrison, who I think is going to be a great player, and Neighbors, they look like great players. I think I would take this kid before the other two.
I really like this.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
When he talks about him being a dog and that he's like, he's Terrell Owens without the off the field issues.
It's That's
like,
literally what he said. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a headache. Get out of here. Like, what?
What a combo.
Again, this is a pipe dream. I'm not saying this is what Bean's going to do. It's not what I'm thinking. It's not what I'm hearing. I'm just saying it's a possibility if Bean wanted to. Rare move of going all in.
I love it.
And putting two moves.
I love it in the moment.
Dream big.
I love it in that moment. What I was going to say to you is our friends at The Athletic did this and they had them going up with the Giants in a mock draft. And they created that. The only reason I bring that up is obviously he's got a relationship with Shane.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the Giants plans are.
Yeah.
But they got a rebuild there in New York.
It's just tough because in that scenario to get up there, you are giving up 28. In the scenario I had with Denver, you would keep 28. So you would have 2 first round picks. Mm-hmm. You just wouldn't have next year's. And I'm okay with trading next year's first round pick in the sense of you have 2 seconds, one of them being Minnesota. And I think Minnesota could stink next year. So you could have that be the 34th, 35th pick, which I would be okay with as a, you know, they always talk about, right? How many first round prospects do you really have on your board? A lot of them only have like 17. So like once you get past 20, it's the second round anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what if you said, give up 28 to Denver, a team that could still be taking a quarterback late in the round, and then you give up, maybe you give up the Minnesota number 2 for next year. So now you've given up 28 and the Minnesota number 2 that they got in the Diggs trade. Obviously.
I mean, that just is such a high.
I think that works.
In terms of, it's so hard to do the math.
The draft,
The draft board.
I mean, I can't even spell, let alone do math.
But the reason I say that is you have to put yourself in the mind of the team that's trading.
Yes, for
Denver. And if they like Bo Nix, they're going to need to be somewhere in the 20s probably to get him. Somebody will make that play. And that's why I say, like, and that pick that the Bills got for Diggs, in the Houston trade, that could be a high number too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's teams going to be looking at that more so than where the Bills have been normally picking.
But again, even if obviously Odunze is not on the board at 12, there's going to be that quick run of wide receivers of that second tier in the first round. Where that is,
right,
is to be determined. Last year, it was like 19, 20, 21 when Jordan Addison, a lot of those guys went. So why would you wait? And Matt Miller and I talk about it of does Bean, he kind of suggested Bean starts making the calls once that fourth wide receiver goes, which he kind of has. He has A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas pretty much neck and neck. And then you kind of get what's left over. And so if that's the guy that you want, if you want Brian Thomas, why can't you do that same exact trade I'm talking about with my hypothetical Mayberry mind of Odunze? You could do it for Brian Thomas. You would keep this year's first round pick. You keep 28. You give up your second and next year's first. Still make the move and take Brian Thomas.
That's a lot.
I don't think that one to me doesn't sound as... That sounds a little too rich.
But we really don't know
how they're graded.
In terms
not
of,
in the building.
Yes, but in terms of saying...
Not in the building.
In terms of saying...
Mike, do it.
No, I'm not. I'm not playing your game.
Because you're not in the building.
What I'm saying is, yes, all the experts, like, we're mapping it out. It's kind of like the first guy who said, I don't have Marvin Harrison as my number one receiver. I mean, I saw people creating these scenarios of giving up like quarterback like levels to get up to get. And then there's other people saying he's not my number one guy. Mm-hmm. They have neighbors ahead of him and they have Odunze ahead of him. Meaning like we don't know. They may be in love with Brian Thomas. They may say like this is the point I make. There's times when they look at a player and even at 28, they wouldn't take him for whatever the reason. I'm not saying it's Brian Thomas, because that's a valuable asset. Whether you had to trade up to get something else or not, that's when they do, oh my God, take a defensive player at 28.
That's the part you might want to click off before the end of the Matt Miller interview.
That's the last question.
Yeah.
He says they could take defense.
Corner.
That,
if you're Bean, I feel like that's embarrassing.
Well, he's got to make up for his defensive end picks. He's got to make up for his corner pick.
Yeah, that's fair. They've taken so many swings. Oh, whatever. On defensive end. The Diggs trade, though, does bring up a ton of pressure.
Yeah.
Because there's always the pressure to hit well on the draft, but now it's like you have a glaring hole on your roster.
Well, we kind of talked about, and I didn't mean to cut Jenna off there, but the fact of you had a need at wide receiver to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you traded away your number one, and like, now everybody knows it.
And if you don't take a receiver at 28, your next pick is 32 picks later. 60.
And you don't have that third round pick to make
for
too
the
much
ammunition.
Move. Yeah.
Yes.
And Matt Miller, made a lot of, in terms of there's a lot of depth in this wide receiver class, and I don't want to give away what he said, but it's a tricky spot in terms of if you want to wait, how long you can wait.
It's a great interview.
It is a great interview. I laughed. I learned. Didn't cry.
Okay. You may cry if they pick defense in the first round.
They
might get a really good player. Yeah. But the idea is, to Dan's point, once you traded Diggs away, and, you know, I know some of you think Diggs all of a sudden now is a bad player, that you didn't need him and you don't want him.
I didn't read all the comments.
Yeah, I get.
You know,
I get the.
You sit that one out.
I get the idea that he's playing somewhere else and now he's all and all that kind of stuff. If you traded right now for Stephon Diggs, he had never been here. You traded right now for him, unquestioned number one wide receiver on this team.
Yeah, that's why it's Nico Collins and Tank Dell are cute.
I don't know. Nico Collins is pretty good.
Still Stephon Diggs, but anyway, different pod.
Okay. No, but my point is, you're sitting there at 28, and how many more receivers do you think we could take? You got to wait 32 more picks unless you make a deal. So I think even if they love Javon Baker, right? Isn't that the kid, UCF? And you say, you may take him a little early, But I don't think you can sit around and wait 32 more picks, or you're going to have to make a substantial move in the second round.
Well, that's why I said my first scenario, whether you want it to be the perfect world of a Dunzier, or if you take Brian Thomas at 12, you're trading that's your second and next year's first, you still have 28. I'd still take another wide receiver.
I knew you were going to say that.
I would take A.D. Mitchell if he was there. And you come out of the first round with that draft, and you have A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas, I'm in.
Yeah, I would be. Yes, I think they would be happy with that.
You could have cornerstone wide receivers for 5 years.
The hardest thing is to say to a team, you're going from 12 to out of the first round.
Yep.
That's why I think.
I'm not saying it's, again, I was just looking at it as Denver saying, you know, they're kind of punting on this year.
Yeah, but I think they still want to get a quarterback in the building. I think they do. So, again, that's just them as an example. I don't know.
Who is their quarterback?
It is, isn't it, is it Sam Darnold?
Darnold?
Or no, he's Minnesota.
Yeah, Darnold's Minnesota. Trey Lance?
No, he's still Dallas, right?
Let me see.
It's not Drew Locke. He signed.
This is good podcasting.
Drew Locke is with Seattle.
Jenna?
Sorry, Molly's calling me.
Molly.
Name, line. Line.
Is it Jarrett Stidham?
Oh, wow. Could be. We're getting this answer. You know this answer is already in the comments.
Someone's screaming
it. It's Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci are their two quarterbacks.
Oh, DiNucci.
Well, they...
Playmaker.
See, this would be a time I think if they love Bo Nix, they're gonna get him, and they're gonna need to be in the first round. That would be the only thing, but
yeah.
Okay, you want to move on to the second round?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they have needs, and I think if you get the receiver early, listen, even in your scenario, they could be taking another receiver in the second round if they don't make a trade.
Yeah, I'd
if
love
they
Javon
stay
Baker.
Where they are. Yeah, he could be the guy. I think they have a need of a younger safety. I think they do. I mean, they signed Mike Edwards. He's on a 1-year deal. Taylor Rapp is Taylor Rapp. We'll see. And I have him taking Kitchens out of University of Miami as the other safety. I think he's got the size. You know, you can think of him more as a center fielder. He's got takeaway guy, instincts, toughness. Sorry. All those things. I think he seems to fit as a Bills type player.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, do they want to invest in the safety position?
You got glasses too?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do the mic, but for my second round pick. Also, did you guys do what I did and looked up draft prospects and wrestling? Which of these guys wrestled? All right. I had at pick 60, the Bills taking edge rusher Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Honestly, he seems like a great guy. He has three nonverbal siblings. That's just this type of stuff you know that the Bills love. Selfless.
You love.
I do. I do love that. But a playmaker. He's got the size. He's got the speed. Explosive.
Did he wrestle?
I could not find that. It didn't look like he wrestled. But I wish they did a prospect pool of who did, because it would make it a lot easier.
By the way, what I did not add when you said second round, I take this back because I really don't have them making a second round pick. And we're going to include at least my mock here in the description. I had them moving back from 60 and picking up. I had to make a trade with Atlanta, and they would get 74 and 109. It gets them two picks in the third round. So that's where I had them taking Kitchens. He's been considered second to third round guy. So that's where I had them. So moving up in the first round, moving back, tough to give up that spot at 60.
Yeah.
But they move back 14 spots for one and pick up another pick at 109. I'm telling you, that not getting that third for Tremaine Edmonds really, it obviously impacted the way they were thinking. They were fully expecting to get that pick as a comp pick, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, and in my mock draft, they traded away the second round pick to move up to 12.
Okay. You're an aggressive gambler.
Look at you.
Yeah, also just I was like, well, that's the end of my mock draft.
I understood. Trade away all the picks. What can I do?
I understood the assignment. I don't know what you're going to say.
So
you were efficient. Can you imagine Brandon Bean's like, well, I'm done.
Well, yeah. I mean, this has happened before.
What do you mean?
The Chicago Bears, Mike Ditka,
traded
his entire draft to New Orleans.
For Ricky Williams.
Yes, for New Orleans. For New Orleans.
He was with New Orleans. Yeah.
And then basically like went and played golf.
Yeah.
Like traded away the whole draft for a running back.
What a different time.
What a day. What a time to be alive.
Yes.
Dan's big favorite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love the. How many running backs did you take in your mock draft?
Oh, I took a running back.
I did actually. I took one in round 7.
Oh.
These are real.
Yeah.
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 We spent a little bit of time doing these.
Yeah. No, these glasses are real.
Oh. I thought you meant the mock drafts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, I hate mock draft season, just for the record.
Go off, queen.
There's just so many names, and the people are like, oh, this guy, he'll go here, like in the later rounds. I get it a little bit, but like
most of the time, if somebody says this guy's a late first rounder, he's going in the second or the third. Most of the time when they say he could go a second day pick, he's going in the sixth. Like that just happens all the time. Yeah. And then, you know, Mel will have it up on his screen and say, best available player. Can't believe this guy is still on the board. When the team picks him, they say, we can't believe he was still on the board when we took him.
That's exactly what.
But you've probably seen 70 guys as potential first round picks. And most teams will tell you they don't have 32 first round grades on them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true. Want to go to.
Well, I'm going to keep going here because I went LSU defensive lineman Mason Smith. Two A's in the name, by the way.
M-A-A?
You will misspell it multiple
times.
No,
I actually feel like that's actually better for Dan.
Really?
Mason.
Yeah.
Mason Smith. Yeah.
Wait, put the camera on me.
Ooh.
I cannot stress enough how bad of a speller Dan Fates is.
Is this the open of the show?
Yes.
Is it true?
Horrendous. And it's always funny when she looks over to me like, how do you spell? And I'm just sitting there like,
why are you asking Dan?
I can't figure out anything. When I write scripts for them, it's just like.
No, I have to look at everything you write before I go on the air.
Did you know we have spell check in there? I just found this out.
No, wait, in iNews?
Yeah. And it does. It actually works.
No idea. Yeah. Not for Dan. It's like, I have no idea.
There are times
does it matter?
I get out on set. And I'm like, what was I trying to spell here? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep going here because they have those two picks. Listen, that guy was one of these players that came out of high school, high end. LSU picks him up. I think people have thought for different reasons. He had a couple of injuries that he had a shoulder in 21, ACL in 22. But I think he's the kind of player you take there because the upside, physical upside of the guy is there. And the feeling is that he could really be something. And then this guy that I have them taking later with, I guess this would be 128, Christian with a K.
Oh, Christian Boyd.
Yes, you have him on your mock.
Yeah.
There we go, Christian Boyd. Northern Iowa, athletic, explosive, dominated at his level, which is what teams will always say. If you play that level down, you got to dominate.
Yeah.
And I think he thought
he's massive, 323.
Yeah, big guy.
Yeah. They say incredibly compact.
6'2", 329. Where did you have the Bills taking him?
I had them taking him at 133.
Okay. So that's good.
What did you have?
128.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They have two of those picks.
Christian Boyd.
Because I haven't done like Dan. Dan just trades them all away. He just trades them.
Who'd you go around 5?
So that my next pick was 33.
Oh,
and
133.
And I want to make sure that I'm saying this guy's name correctly. He's come in for a visit. Physically, they must like him. He's, again, a small school guy.
Also talk about him with Matt Miller.
Okay. Who am I talking about?
Flournoy.
Ryan Flournoy. Now, that might be a little early based on what people are saying.
That's what he said. Again, I feel like we're tipping the whole interview here.
That's
but
people are going to listen.
He goes, fifth round guys worth taking a shot on.
They say he has the size and the physique of an NFL player, which sometimes you say that's what's missing because the guy played at a smaller program and this type of thing. He's a vertical guy, loves it. His kind of route running.
It's just so hard. They said, cause it's like Southeastern Missouri. It's just so hard to see what that translates.
What he jumped the reason he jumped and why a lot of teams have been interested, looked really good at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
Do not underestimate the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Because that's a real competitive, it's very different than Combine. Senior Bowl, correct, these guys are out there not just running, we, you know, fake routes. Yeah, let's go to Mobile. And there are, it's, you love, competitive. Alabama. I know. I got a place for us to stay down there.
Yeah. Orange Beach?
Orange Beach.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out Orange Beach.
That's it. It's where my daughter got married. So I think they're taking this guy. I don't know where.
Yeah, it's weird that you would spend a top 30 visit on a guy that you weren't at least strongly considering.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
especially
fair.
That type of guy.
And for a day three guy. To bring in a day three guy to me was surprised. For top 30. Yeah, for a top 30.
I was reading something about the visits. You have also the ability, like the Bills can bring in UB guys and it doesn't count towards the top 30. They could have brought in a guy like Khalil, you know, Khalil Mack when he was at UB. I think they probably did. And you can bring in guys who live there. Like if they're from, if they live near your area, I think it's a 50-mile radius, which is really interesting. But this guy doesn't meet any of those categories.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. So I'm just saying is, this is a guy they have an interest in. Now, maybe have an interest in him in seventh round. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But he just seems to be the type of guy, if you want to take a flyer in the later rounds,
yeah,
and they've already shown an interest in him, and I already have him taking Brian Thomas, so he's that kind of player.
Okay. Love it. Do we want to...
You got anybody else?
Well, I went round five, 144.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Safety Josh Proctor out of Ohio State. He's someone that... he said, saved his best football for last season. He's long, athletic, good eye balance, readiness, instinctive, which we know the Bills love. So there's that. I think that's something, obviously, that the Bills, they need a safety.
Now, Dan, settle down when I say this. I have the Bills taking a running back next.
Let's get it. Go ahead.
Okay, wait. Is it Frank Gore Jr.?
No.
Oh. I know a lot of people liked that.
Isaac Garendo.
Okay.
Louisville. 6 foot, 221.
Oh, yeah. I heard of this guy.
Testing machine.
Yeah.
Did everything. One of the scouts, this was on NFL.com, said, when a guy makes contact with him, his pads rattle.
I like that.
That's a very scouty thing to say.
Oh my God.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But they said he's not super explosive at the get-go as a back.
Okay.
Which maybe is why he's, you know, back a little bit. But he's got size and speed. I think he's kind of what they've looked for when they've signed some of these other guys, older guys, and it just didn't work out. What's the guy they got from the Patriots? He just retired. That got hurt.
Damian Harris.
That type of player. So I had him going to the Bills with that pick, which would be...
Is that 144?
Yes, 144. Sorry.
It's okay. You don't need to apologize.
The glasses is... You're.
I got to keep them on.
I know.
These are... what's the place?
Warby Parker.
Warby Parker.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Instead of just the standard readers.
These are CVS.
That's what all mine are, which they're all banged up. But these are expensive ones. They were $90.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Don't lose those. Price. Yeah, don't lose those.
Yeah, well, considering I've probably lost 12 or broken 12 pair of $20 readers or $18 readers. So
all right, I went 163. Wide receiver Isaiah Williams out of Illinois. Two-time team captain, folks. We know how much Sean McDermott.
They love that kind
they
of stuff.
They do. I know you guys poo-poo it, but they love it.
Yeah, they need to replace two.
They
got to
replace a lot of captains.
Yeah, they
We got to replace some captains. Yeah, especially two of them were wide receivers.
Oh, my gosh.
What pick was that for you, Jenna?
163.
Okay, so I made a pick at 160. Then I made another trade at 163.
Wow.
How about that? Look at you just on the phone, just so making calls.
So at 160, this is one of those picks that, like, they'll show Bills fans in the stands and they'll make the pick and they'll be like, yeah.
Got our guy.
Yeah. It's CJ Hansen, you know.
Kicker.
Holy Cross guard.
Oh.
6'5", 300 pounds, 3-year starter, captain, great technique. believe
Holy
he can
Cross
add a,
guard.
Believe he can. Yes.
Like,
Holy Cross guard. They believe if he can add a little size, they think he can pick up some weight, yeah. add a little size. We're talking about, again, we're talking about the, you know, 160th pick of the draft.
That's why I traded all mine away.
So 163, I traded. I sent it to the Saints, who will do something stupid with it because that's what they do. I pick up a fifth for next year. Traded 163.
Okay.
I moved on. I wanted to get some extra picks.
Wow. Really going for that Holy Cross yeah. guy.
Yes.
I wanted to set something up of, we've talked about how many wide receivers we think the Bills will take
right.
in this draft. Obviously, they have 10 picks, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
They traded yeah, one away. Do you think, what should the number be set at? And you comment in as well, how many, if we set it at what? Is it 2.5?
Yeah.
Do you set it at 2.5 and say over, under, how many wide receivers Bean's drafting? Is that a fair number? Or is it 3.5?
No, I think
no,
it's 2.5.
No, I think bet-wise...
2.5 spot on.
It's got to be 2.5 because they will take a second receiver.
Correct. Will they
take a third?
I don't think they're going to take three out of ten. I'd be shocked because I unfortunately think you have a lot
because they still have of other Khalil spots. Shakir and
Justin Shorter. They have Justin Shorter.
Oh, good. We got okay.
Yep.
Cross that off the bingo card.
It's like the gym meme where he's like number of podcasts since we've mentioned Justin Shorter.
Very true.
Zero.
Okay, round 6.
What do you got?
I got a 200 linebacker, Braden McGregor, out of Michigan. Matt Milano coming off the injury.
Right.
Getting a little older. See some found stuff in
200. I have MJ Devonshire. Defensive back.
Sounds like royalty.
Pitt.
They love Pitt.
They've done well with Pitt.
They yeah. love Corners. Pitt.
Yeah. Dane Jackson and DeMar. Sorry. Try not to knock
we got that on camera
over.
Whoops.
He's got physical skills, long arms, confident in press coverage, like he plays, you know, obviously it's a flawed, all these guys, when I say flawed, you see they'll list flaws in guys that are going to go top 5, and these guys, well, there's always something, so I think you take flyers on these guys. That's what they did with Dane Jackson.
Yep.
Right, they took him later. They like the way it appears to be. They've liked the way Pitt players play.
That's part of this, like when you go into this mock drafting too, is I always think about, and I think we talked about it on the one pod that we did, of I don't care what your weaknesses are. I want to know what your strengths are, because I believe as a coaching staff, if you're going to bring somebody in, it's your job to put them in position to succeed by letting them do their strengths.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if I agree 100% with
No, that. But I would say it depends on what the weaknesses are. Because yes. in some cases with a player, it's things that may be difficult to even coach up.
Sure.
In terms of lateral quickness and things that can.
But that's a good point. Because I think about a guy like DK Metcalf. He doesn't run double moves. He doesn't run out routes or curl routes. He runs slants and he runs verts.
But I think he's outstanding. Like, I think his upside is so tremendous.
But passed on him.
But yeah, but it would be a, like, he's so well in Seattle because that's what they ask him to do.
Right.
So if they said, hey, we need you to run out routes and dig routes, like, that's a flaw by Seattle. And maybe that's part of whatever happened with Kaiir. Of you weren't, he's such a good man defender, corner, and you've asked him to kind of play some zone.
That's
and
fair.
He's, you thought maybe, hey, we can coach him up to an extent. But that's one of his flaws.
Yeah.
Is that he wasn't.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about scheme. Normally teams, you know, they want the guy to play, be able to play what they play. And to use a first round pick on a guy that you want to change a little bit, maybe is a lesson to Bean a little bit here.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
In terms
don't
of that.
Try. Like, again, I don't care what you can't do. I want to know what you can do.
And I'm reading
See,
about.
I think of that different. Like, I think of the Kaiir Elam example to be exactly that of like, I want to know also what you struggle with, because those struggles I feel like have translated, like you said, he was very good in man, not as good in zone, things like that.
But that's why I think it was a bad pick.
Right.
I agree with it being
because
a bad,
you're trying to fit the square peg into the round hole.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to know his weaknesses as well and take those into account.
Well, and look, you're picking in the first round here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, you know, if you're taking the flyer on the guy later, it's a little bit different.
Yes.
You will read a lot of stuff. And this is not necessarily, I think we're going to see more and more of this. Teams change personnel in college so much now. I mean, it is just new rosters all the time. I think it's going to get harder and harder for teams to adapt players to their schemes. And you're going to see players being, you know, whatever reason, a guy's at Alabama and he's like, I'm in the portal. Next thing you know, he's picked up at Kentucky and he's maybe in a different scheme. And you're seeing the talent that he might have had coming into Kentucky playing in a scheme that doesn't really fit him. That's where a team looks for a guy and says, he was in the wrong scheme. We like his talent. We can move him. I don't think you're doing that in the early rounds. That, to your point about Elam.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes dicey, I think.
I'm not saying, Jenna, that you don't understand what their weaknesses are. I'm just saying there are some things where it's like, I got to joke around with like a wide receiver and like a run blocker. It's like, he doesn't run block well. It's like,
yeah, you're not asking.
Just take up space then. Like, just stand there. Like, give me some effort.
Dalton Kincaid's not a blocker.
No.
He's not.
And you know what? But that's a great point, Mike, because that's what I'm saying too, is that like, you can make him serviceable.
Serviceable.
But that's, if your play design is to have Dalton Kincaid solo blocking Max Crosby, I'm not mad that Dalton Kincaid gets pancaked.
Yeah.
I'm mad at the coaching staff that put him in the situation to block Max Crosby one-on-one.
Right.
Like,
because that's not what
not what he's there to do.
I think
that's my point of what you're getting, and then accentuate what they do well. Try and fix, rough up, you know, smooth out the rough edges. But again, I think about getting a guy that does something well and you're like, well, we're going to have him do this. It's like,
well, yeah, I think that's silly. That to me is like,
yeah,
which I understand of like, you are so confident in your coaches, but also the writing was on the wall kind of like, this guy doesn't do as well in this system.
All right. 204. What do you got?
I have center Charles Turner III out of LSU.
That'll be another one that people go. All right. Yeah, we got Turner. All right.
Tenacity is the word that jumped off.
Sounds like a wrestler.
I know. I didn't see if he was a wrestler though. Good in run blocking, pass protector.
Listen, you're picking there. That means he's an interior guy that you think center and guard, right? Usually it's the other way. I will say we've seen a lot more of this where teams draft guys that are tackles that they believe they can play guard.
Yeah.
That used to be a no. And sometimes it's based on size. Like, ideal tackles are taller, longer arms.
Correct.
That doesn't always work as well. Some teams just go, give me the best five. We'll figure it out that way. But some guys are just built to play as interior offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And you do need those guys. This is where you do find cheap depth on a team.
Yeah.
204, I went with Joshua Cardi. Kicker. Stanford.
Oh.
Good range.
Oh.
High 50s, very consistent.
Are you worried about only kicking in warm weather?
Why is that?
West Coast guy?
Northern California.
He's kicked in snow before?
Where was Bass from?
He went to Georgia Southern.
Yes,
oh, okay. Correct. So there's a northern school.
He like kicked their game winner. He kicked a game winner in the snow there.
Okay. The reason I'm saying this is
the snow of 32 degrees.
I'll put it to you this way. There's going to be an extra kicker at camp this year.
I just poked holes in his pick.
There's going to be a kicker 100%. At camp.
Yeah.
I wouldn't waste a pick on it.
You have to.
I personally wouldn't waste a pick on it.
Okay.
You can bring in a veteran to push Bass that you don't have to waste a pick on. And then cut the vet.
I'm wondering where their confidence in Bass is. And the draft, I think, will show.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong on that one. We went and looked at our
You mean
our
when
show.
Jenna and I kept saying they have a kicking problem?
Yeah.
Yep.
By the way, did anybody happen? Somebody put it on Twitter, the play-by-play of the Bass miss in...
Is it Spanish?
No, it was it wasn't in Japanese, but it was an Asian language, and okay. I'm trying to remember which one it was. The guy flips out. So I don't know if he had money on the Chiefs. He goes insane when the kick is wide.
Did he go insane as the one local reporter with the eclipse? Did you hear her?
Oh, no.
Oh, she just lost her mind. It is happening. This is the greatest.
Oh, I saw
it's
like
so
a
dark.
I saw like a weather person start crying.
Yeah, it was just.
Which I thought.
Talk about like, I wish I loved anything in life as much as this person loved the eclipse.
Oh, gosh.
All right, are we?
One more.
One more pick?
Oh, mine is 48. Yeah, go ahead. Mine is extremely exciting.
I took a running back. Cody Schrader, Missouri.
Good pick.
Good pick. Hey, yeah,
team captain with
solid.
Take my bell.
This is when the person comes up and they pops up on the Zoom, and it's like 30 seconds before somebody raises their hand to ask the question because we're all fried at this point. So he's like, "You want to ask him blue cheese or ranch, or should I?" Like, what are we doing here?
Team captain, extreme competitive fire. Decisiveness, fearlessness. You know what? Let me look that up. While you say yours, let me look.
Mine is this guy, AJ Barner, Michigan tight end. Doesn't catch the ball. He is your blocking tight end. Your third tight end.
That's amazing.
He's a blocker.
Does it say that on his draft?
It basically
doesn't catch
says
the football.
He's an extra offensive lineman.
It's Lee Smith.
He is Lee Smith.
Oh my
God.
I loved Lee Smith. He was funny.
That was awesome.
Moonshine, Lee Smith.
Moonshine.
Bring it in.
It does not look like he wrestled.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I just...
I got a tight end thing, but I'm going to do it in another pod.
Really?
Yeah. We've gone long here.
We drafted a tight end?
No, I have a take that I'll sit on.
Okay, whatever. Okay. Check out the Matt Miller interview on the Buffalo Plus.
Probably
YouTube
do that
channel.
For later this week. That'll be this week.
Why don't
we? So we'll have Thursday. Should I do it
Wednesday?
Could be.
Yeah. So we'll be in Buffalo on Thursday. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen.
Content.
Players
content,
talking.
Content.
The NFL draft is April 25th. So that's coming up next week. And please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, as well as share the channel if you enjoy our work. Yeah, for Mike and Dan, I'm Jenna. We'll catch you next time here.
We're not in the building.
No.
We'll be in the building.
We'll be in the building.
Just on the record, Jenna and I have complete mock drafts.
Yeah. Do we get credit for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Traded all my picks.
Ditka.
All right. Bye, guys.
Buffalo Plus, your interactive look at the week in football, brought to you by Connors and Ferris.